Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. So I'm a couple weeks behind with this lectionary passage, and I'm skipping a few weeks ahead to a post-Pentecost passage. And after the disciples have been spreading the good news of Jesus Christ for a while throughout the land, this passage summarizes the events of the previous chapter, in which Peter determines that the resurrection has ushered in a new identity and a new freedom for God's people. Listen to Acts 11, 1 through 18. The apostles and the brothers and sisters throughout Judea heard that even the Gentiles had welcomed God's word. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. They accused him, "You went into the home of the uncircumcised and ate with them." Step by step, Peter explained what had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying when I had a visionary experience. In my vision, I saw something like a large linen sheet being lowered from heaven by its four corners. It came all the way down to me. As I stared at it, wondering what it was, I saw four-legged animals, including wild beasts, as well as reptiles and wild birds. I heard a voice say, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I responded, 'Absolutely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice from heaven spoke a second time, 'Never consider unclean what God has made pure.' This happened three times, and then everything was pulled back into heaven. At that moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Spirit told me to go with them, even though they were Gentiles. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered that man's house. He reported to us how he had seen an angel standing in his house saying, 'Send to Joppa and summon Simon, who is also known as Peter. He will tell you how you and your entire household can be saved.' When I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as the Spirit fell on us in the beginning. I remembered the Lord's words, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God gave them the gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then who am I? Could I stand in God's way?" Once the apostles and other believers heard this, they calmed down. They praised God and concluded, "So then God has enabled Gentiles to change their hearts and lives so that they might have new life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So sometimes I am just taken aback at the amount of change that has occurred in my so far very short life. Some of it good, some of it not so good, some of it just more of the same in a different modus operandi. My mother, who has now lived nearly 92 years, has witnessed what seems a complete transformation of the world. Some of you know what I'm talking about. She went from switchboard operators and party lines, talk about privacy issues, to a smartphone where she can check her email. She went from teaching shorthand to teaching Fortran. She experienced World War II and the Depression, the Cold War, civil rights and women's movements, Vietnam, Watergate, and so much more. She loves writing cards and letters, but she also emails, Skypes, and texts. The only major societal change that didn't seem, the only, these societal changes didn't seem to bother her. She took them in stride. The only one that really hurt her that I noticed was a change in her church. It wasn't because of the content of the change. She was mostly in favor. But it was because of how divisive and hurtful the change process turned out to be. I am sure in that church and elsewhere in the body of Christ, change could have been handled better. In this controversy, Peter ignites in this story, the controversy that Peter ignites begins with Cornelius, a non-Jewish God worshiper who was generous to the Jewish people in need and prayed constantly, Scripture tells us. An angel came to him with a vision to ask Peter to dinner. At the same time, Peter receives a vision in which he is told to eat things that the law has declared unclean. Meeting with Cornelius, Peter concludes that God has fully included faithful Gentiles in the covenant Christ established. And this incorporation into the family of God did not depend on following Moses' dietary laws, which had been at the heart of the Jewish identity. It's hard to overstate just how radical this message was. The Holy Spirit had broken in, had swept through both Jews and Gentiles and seemed to upend what the disciples knew about God and what it meant to be God's people. Peter concludes, God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who then am I? Could I stand in God's way? We certainly have controversies today. Some of them are petty. Some of them are really important. Some go to the same issues with which Peter and the Jerusalem contingent wrestled. Who is included in God's covenant? What is our identity? What behavior is acceptable? Isn't it wonderful that we have this exchange, which takes up two full chapters in the book of Acts and helps us to find our way through change and through the questions and disagreements it raises? These disciples confront, engage, debate, and in the end continue to serve Christ together with joy and mutual respect. What can we learn from their example? Peter's primary life goal was the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people of the good news. His discernment started in prayer, and he was attentive to God's message, even when it seemed absolutely absurd to him. What openness to the Spirit must it have taken for this faithful Jew to have such a vision? He allowed himself to be utterly shocked by God and by what God had to say. He is also humble enough to take care that he doesn't confuse his own dreams and desires with God's call. Our visions are not enough to declare new truths. Peter is knowledgeable of the Hebrew Scriptures, and he's rightfully questioned his interpretation, judging it against the whole of Scripture and in light of Christ's ministry. Still, even for St. Peter, that is not enough. His vision was partially confirmed by Cornelius's invitation to dinner and the discussion there. Jesus had brought a vision of radical hospitality, and Peter continues that practice by accepting the invitation to dine in this Gentile's home, to eat the food that he puts out. God does not leave Peter to understand the vision in isolation either. He is not required to interpret the message alone. He brought along with him to that dinner six brothers. Isn't our decision-making at its best when we examine the evidence and discern together what God wants us to do. Peter finds confirmation in another righteous person, Cornelius, this person to whom God has given a complementary vision. He is willing to go out among those who see the world differently, not just to deliver the message of Christ, but also open to where Christ is already working among strangers. Peter's openness to the presence of God in the world allows him to see the Spirit move in a new way. The faithful in Jerusalem understandably question Peter's actions based on the community's shared understanding of faithfulness. They confront Peter, but they also listen as he boldly, honestly, patiently, and in love explains the basis for his confidence in the vision he has received. He doesn't win over all the faithful, but he does not stop them from following the truth. But that does not stop them, him from following the truth as he has been given. He also does not stop loving those with whom he disagrees. The world is continually presenting us with new and different situations. Like our Jewish ancestors, Christians are called to a radically different way of life. Harry Emerson Fosdick observes, so wisely, I think, Christians are supposed not merely to endure change, nor even to profit from it, but to cause it. God has a vision for us, and like it or not, it's going to involve transition. We claim to be reformed and still being reformed by the Word of God. As we strive to live faithfully, Peter models prayerfulness, attentiveness, openness to God's message for us in our present situation. If we are willing to listen to where God is calling us into newness, the Spirit will lead. Like Peter, we test what we think God is saying against Scripture. And that's not easy. It takes more than looking in a concordance for the verses that speak to our issue. We must look at the whole of the scriptural message and read it through the lens of the life and teaching of Jesus. We do all this in conversation with each other, those in our faith community and beyond. In the Presbyterian tradition, we do this within our congregation, our presbytery, our General Assembly, other denominations, alongside each other as partners in discernment and ministry. We stay in conversation with our brothers and sisters in other faith traditions, open to where God is speaking a new word to us. The practice of these early disciples stumbling their way through in a new world created by Christ offers us a way forward in ours. They can be applied to our disagreements in our churches, in our friendships, in our homes, in our work, and our political lives. How we behave within the family of faith and beyond matters. What people see in our intentions, in our interactions, models Christ's love or not. If we model his gentleness and humility and generosity, the world will see something strange and wonderful, and so will we. May God grant us new vision, the openness to perceive, the wisdom to discern, and the grace to do this together with Christ's community. Amen.